Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
Fabulous musicians in this place. I think probably we got the best. We got the best. Glory to God. We're not going to have service tonight because of the Super Bowl. There's too many people gone. We can notice today there's a lot of people gone in our service today. And so many people are glued to that TV when it comes to something like this. So I want to make that announcement right now. And I just want to thank each one of you for coming today. And I'm thankful for all of our musicians, all those, Lord, all those that play and all those that lead singing, and then for our congregation, the beautiful music that comes from this place. It's amazing. Praise the Lord. I wanted to talk a little bit today about miracles. We had a strong prophecy last Sunday that God was going to fill this place with miracles. And I believe it's coming. It's already started. We've seen a mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And as I started reading about miracles, you know, this Bible's full of them. You just can't hardly read a place without miracles. I was thinking about Moses when he was out there in the desert all by himself and nothing to do but watch over a few bands of sheep. Of course, that's quite a job sometimes. I know the band of sheep is, they told me it was 1,500 in one band, so that's a full-time job. But all of a sudden, there was a miracle. Just an old bush out there in a sagebrush started burning. And here Moses was just kind of nonchalant there, I guess, and all of a sudden it caught his attention. And so he started walking over there close to it, and there was a voice spoke out of that bush. And it said, "Take off your shoes, for the ground that you're on is holy ground." And so he knew then that it was the Lord. The Lord was there, and he performed this miracle to get his attention. And then when he got his attention, then he began to talk to him and told him what he wanted him to do. And then when he did go to Egypt to deliver the people, went into the Pharaoh, and he began to do miracles. He throwed his rod down on the ground and it became a serpent. And they threw theirs down and they became serpents, but Moses ate theirs. In fact, that's the first thing that God told him to do when he showed him the bush. He said, "Throw your rod down on the ground," and he did, and it became a serpent. You know, I don't know. I never did like serpents. I just never had much love for them. In fact, I don't even want them around. But he said to grab that thing by the tail, and he grabbed it by the tail, and it turned back into a rod. And needless to say, Moses was beginning to get the picture here that God was a God of miracles. And we read about miracles all the way through the Bible. And probably one of the greatest miracles was over in Luke when the angel Gabriel came down to the little city of Nazareth in Galilee, and he told Mary, "You're going to be a mother." And she said, "I've not even known a man." She said, "How can I be a mother?" And he said, the angel of the Lord answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, upon you, and the power of the most of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One that shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God." And this was actually probably the first miracle that we really read of in the New Testament. But Jesus was born without a father. He was born because of a miracle of God. And God is the God of miracles. And then when Jesus became, he was about 30 years old, him and his family, I guess, I know his mother was there, they were invited to a wedding at Cana of Galilee. And his mother spoke up and she said, "They're out of wine." And Jesus said, "Well, woman, what have I got to do with this? This is not my time yet." He said, "You know, what can I do?" And she said, "Whatsoever he says to you, do it." And there was 6 water pots there. And these water pots held from 20 to 30 gallons of water. And he spoke to the servants and he said, "Fill these with water." And they filled all these pots with water. And I don't know whether they put in, but 6 pots at 25 gallons would be 150 gallons of water. That's a lot of water. And he said, "Now draw out some and take to the master of the ceremony." And he took out some and took to the master of the ceremony. And the master said, took a drink of that wine. And he called the bridegroom in and he said, "You know, most of the services like this, they drink up the good wine first and then they leave the worst until the last." He said, you've got the best here for the last." And this was a miracle. Jesus is a miracle. Miracle working God. And John, the 3rd chapter, and the 3rd chapter and the 7th verse, Jesus had man come to him in the night for fear of being seen by probably the scribes and Pharisees of that day. And he came to Jesus by night and began to talk to him and telling him, you know, he said, "I know that you're a great prophet," and so forth. But Jesus made a statement there. He said, "You must be born again." That is the answer to the whole situation. You must be born again. And so Jesus made it plain to him that he had to change his way of living and change his style. Being born again, he said, "Well, how can I be born again? Neither in my mother's womb be born." Jesus said, "That which is of flesh is flesh, and that which is water." I didn't read that part, but anyway, he told him how it was going to be. But he said, "You have to be born again. You have to be changed from the way you are until into God's way." And then he told him in the 16th verse, he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And he went on to say, who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And this is the thing, and I believe each one of us have to see. When we come to Jesus, we have to look back and see how we came out of this part and me into this part. These things here, I remember as a young man, I would have probably been an alcoholic had I not got saved at 17 years old. The night that I got saved, I'd had an older guy buy me a bottle of whiskey anyway, and I just put it in the car, and a friend of mine invited me to church, and when he did, I left the bottle in the car, and when I went out, I went out the next day, and I was going to get it out of there and get rid of it, but it was gone. My brother, he'd taken the car that night before with the little boys. But thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. And Jesus was a miracle worker. Of course, the greatest miracle that we have is salvation. There's no greater miracle than salvation. I mean, when God takes a person like I was and changes them to a person that loves God and begins to serve God. And it took me quite a while to get where I am today. I didn't start out as a full-fledged Christian. I had a lot to learn. I had a learning experience. I don't know, probably you never had that, but I had a real learning experience. I had some real things to learn in my Christian walk when I was a young man and learning, to do the right thing. In the fifth chapter, Jesus was at the. It's 5:2. Well, I'll start out at 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went to Jerusalem. Now, there was in Jerusalem a sheep gate. By the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethsaida, having 5 porches, and in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the waters to be moved. This is something I never quite understood how this happened, but an angel of the Lord came down and moved this water, and whoever got into the water first was healed of whatever they had. It was, I suppose it's still kind of Greek to me, maybe. But anyway, it was a miracle of God, even that. But Jesus, he saw this man laying there, and he said, would you be healed? And he said, I can't get to the water. He said, there's no way that I can get to the water. He was paralyzed, and he'd been paralyzed for 38 years. He said, there's no way that I can get to the water. And Jesus told him to, he said, rise and take up your bed and walk. And the guy rose, took up his bed and walked. Because Jesus was a miracle worker. Jesus was a miracle worker. And in the sixth chapter and the third verse, Jesus went on the mountain, and there sat his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near, and Jesus lifted his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread to that these may eat? But this he said because he was to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered and said, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient to feed them, for everyone would have a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said, there's a lad here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus said, bring him here. And he sat down and he said, pass these out to all the people. And he broke them. He said, break it and feed, break it and feed, break it and feed. I said there was 5,000 men there. It says men. So if there was 5,000 men, you can figure that there was probably at least 20 to 25,000 people in this group. We say the feeding of 5,000, but it didn't include, he said people came. It didn't say just men came. There was probably women and children and all kinds of people came, and I mean, there's a great number. And so they fed all of these. He gave thanks, and he gave it to the disciples, and they distributed it. And when everybody was filled, 20,000 or 25,000, whatever it was, Jesus said, gather up the fragments, because, or that there remain, that remain, so nothing will be lost. And they gathered up 12 baskets. I don't know how big these baskets were, but they gathered up 12 baskets after feeding all these people from 2 fish and 5 barley loaves. They took up 12 baskets. Now, some say that there was 12 disciples, so he put a basket on each one of the disciples' shoulder and told them to take it to this boy's house. Now, I don't, it doesn't say that, but it's you know, and it might have happened. I don't know. But anyway, 12 baskets after feeding all these people, that's a miracle. In fact, the matter is, even feeding one person, or I mean a half a dozen person, feasible out of this little bit of food, is a miracle. But Jesus is a great miracle worker. And the thing I like about Jesus, Hebrews 13:8 said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still a miracle-working God, isn't he? He's the same as he was back then. And he said, greater things than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. And so I believe we're going to see a mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Over in Acts 2:4, there was a miracle that happened. And Jesus told him before he went away, he said, there's going to be, said, I'm going to send the Comforter. I want to send the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And he's going to dwell among you, and he's going to comfort you. He's going to do great things among you. And on the day of Pentecost, said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place and in one accord. And said, suddenly there became like a rushing mighty wind, and as cloven tongues of fire set on each of them, and they all began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There was about 120 people there, and they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the thing that was kind of interesting about this, this was the Feast of the Passover, which was, it was 50 days after the Feast of the Tabernacles. I believe the Feast of Tabernacles. Anyway, it was 50 days after. So they call it 50 days anyway. And all these people that were there, they heard each one their own language. And in the 8th verse it said, how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, or anyway, I might not pronounce these right, but you know what they are. Pamphylia, and Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Christians and Arabs. And I counted this up, and there were 17 different countries that people were there to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. And so they began to tell, wondering why and how this could happen. And they said that, you know, probably they were drunk on new wine. Well, I don't think they'd talk in all these right good languages if they'd drunk on new wine. But anyway, they had all kinds of excuses why this was happening. But Peter, standing up in the midst of them, he said, these are not drunk as you suppose, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, that I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see dreams. Your old men shall dream. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my maidservants and my men servants and my maidservants, I'll pour out of my spirit in that day, and they shall prophesy. And so this became a mighty miracle. And then down in the latter part, well, Peter began to preach to him Jesus. He preached Jesus and what Jesus was and what he did and how that they had crucified him just a short time before this, and showed him all the things that they had done to him. And finally they said, well, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent. Repent. And he told them, said, well, and then go be baptized for the remission of sins. And that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And there was about 3,000 people accepted Jesus as their Savior that day. This was another miracle. 3,000 people coming at one time. In the day that we're living now with television and all the broadcasting equipment and everything we have, we've heard of people like Reinhard Bonnke over in Africa. I believe the last I heard it was 9 million people that accepted the Lord through his ministry over there, because of all the things that we've got to do with today. The gospel is going forth around the world today. We had on this one channel the other night, Inspirational Channel, and they said there was 129 countries that this went to. And TBN goes around the world. And different, Daystar, they go, I think it was 240 different countries or something like that they go to. And it's amazing how the gospel is getting out today and the miracles. They said that Paul Crouch on TBN said there was probably 16,000 Muslims coming to the Lord daily through hearing the gospel. This is a miracle. We're living in a miracle time. And the beauty part of it is we're in a place where we can receive those miracles, because this is a place where miracles happen, isn't it? We see miracles. We've seen a lot of miracles here. We've seen people healed. We've seen a lot of things that have taken place. And people receiving finances and stuff. So it's a great thing to see miracles. Another one, Peter and John, they went up to the temple in the hour of prayer, which is the ninth hour, and this would actually be 3:00 in the afternoon. They went up there to pray. And there was a man sitting at the gate called Beautiful Gate, and he was begging. He said, alms, alms. He was wanting money. And Peter walked by, and he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. This man had been sitting there 40 years. He was 40 years old. They're bringing him down every day to get alms, have him some way to feed him. And Jesus reached down and he got him by the hand and helped him up. And this boy, he was, well, he'd be a boy to me. I'm a little older than 40. And it said he was walking and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. Walking and leaping and praising God. These are things that we're looking forward to seeing. I believe we're going to see miracles in this day in which we live that we've never dreamed of. how God is going to move in our midst because of the prophecies that have gone forth and how that we're binding together. You know, I was thinking about the 133rd Psalm. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. In unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded a blessing, even life forevermore. And as we bind together in love and unity, I believe God is going to move as he's never moved before in this area. I believe Zillah is going to come alive with the gospel. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then in the fifth chapter and the 12th verse, this is kind of amazing too about Peter. Let's see, 5:12. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were in one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by, if this shadow touched them as they went by, they were healed. Glory to God. I wish I could just go by and some my shadow be out here and someone be laying there sick and come up out of their sickness, come out of their paralyzed or whatever. You know, I believe it can happen. I believe that we're looking forward to these days. I believe we're looking forward to a mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost because we're living in that day. We're living in the last days that Peter talked about here, I believe. He said, in the last days. And I believe we're living in the last days. We're living in the latter part of the 2,000 years that was after Jesus. Now, in the sixth chapter, and the first verse, now in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews and by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the twelve summoned the multitude, the disciples, and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint for this business of taking care of the widows and all the things that they had to do there." And so it talks about the men who were chosen. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, I guess, Timon, Parmenas, Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. And it talks about Stephen first, and it said he was a man full, in the eighth verse, he was a man full of power, or faith and power, and he did great wonders and signs among the people. Now, he was a deacon, you might say. He was just appointed to take care of the problems in the church. He wasn't really a great evangelist, you know, or even a minister, I don't guess, legally. But he was doing great wonders and great miracles because he was a man of God. And the next part here was kind of interesting. It said, then there arose some from what was called the synagogue of the freedmen, The Freedman's, I looked that up, and it said it was Roman slaves. Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those of Cilicia and Asia disputing with Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke, because he was a man of God, filled with the Spirit of God, and a man that knew how to pray. You know, I believe that God has given us a spirit in this place that is going to manifest itself. I was reading about David in the 18th chapter of Psalms in the 29th verse, and he said, "By you I can run through a wall, and I can run through a troop and leap over a wall." And I believe God's going to give us that ability just to run through a troop and leap over a wall. Hallelujah. I want to tell about a little miracle that happened to me. It wasn't a little for me. But back when I was a teenager, in fact, the matter is, I guess when I was 14 years old, my wife's folks rented a house from my dad. I was 14 years old, and we were both teenagers. We went to one year of high school together, and I saw her, and I decided that a beautiful sunset, she couldn't hold a candle to her. She was so beautiful, and she still is. And this was over 60 years ago when I was 14 years old. And we got acquainted. We went to high school together, and I hauled her around on my horse. She said that she never cared much for me, but she liked my horse. But anyway, she left and went down to her grandparents down across the state of Missouri. I was up in the northern part, raised up on the northern part. And she got saved. And she told me, she came up to visit a friend, which is now my sister-in-law, and she told me about getting saved, and all Greek to me. I didn't have any idea what saved was about. But anyway, at 17 years old, I decided Dad and I had a little disagreement, so I crawled in the car with a friend, and we took off and went to South Dakota and worked in the wheat harvest, and we did different things. And I ended up in Wyoming, and I was working there for Big Horn Chevrolet. They had a filling station on the side, and I'd go from the filling station into the shop and help them with brake jobs or whatever. But I got sick, and I went to the doctor. "Oh, yeah, you got kidney infection." And so he gave me a sulfa drug, and I got better. And so I ended up, but I found out Sue was going down in them blackjack timber down in the Ozarks praying for me every night. I didn't have any idea that she was doing this. I didn't even know where she was. Nobody knew where I was, because I never wrote to nobody. I was gone 8 months, and nobody knew where I was at. But I ended up in Texas on a ranch down there. And I remember laying there at night, and I began to cry, not knowing why. I know it was the Spirit of God dealing with me. And I went home, and I was home 1 week, and distant cousin of Sue's that I went to high school with, he invited me to church. And so I went to church, and I got saved February the 18th, 1953. And I accepted the Lord and went to work for one of the guys in our church, a deacon in our church, and I just decided that I would go tell Sue that I got married, that I got saved. And so I got down there, and we started talking about we'd already kind of talked about marriage, you know, and so we decided to get married. So I turned 18 years old, and we got married. And in 1955, we rented a farm from this doctor, and I went to bed one night, and I laid there, and I rolled and screamed, and I was in such pain. I'd never been in such pain. So Sue called the doctor, and he had a little ambulance, and he came out there and got me and took me into his little hospital. It was a six-room hospital, and Dave was born there. My brother-in-law was born in this little hospital in Elmo, Missouri. And the next day, he came and got Sue, and they took me to St. Joe, which is about 70 miles down the road. Sue said he was traveling along about these little lights flashing about 90 miles an hour. They took me into the hospital, and they cut me open, and they found out I had had a ruptured appendix for probably 2.5 years. And when we were a friend of mine, Pat, used pastor of church back in Clarinda, Iowa. He said, "You're a walking miracle." He said, "We had a gal in our church had a ruptured appendix, and she didn't make it to the hospital before she died. In 2.5 years, I had a ruptured appendix." They said, it was like rocks in where my appendix had been, just little stones. The doctor told me this. And he said they had to take all my insides out because gangrene had set in, and I was one day from ending. And I would have been had it not been Sue praying that I would get saved, I would have probably died in Wyoming and nobody knowing where I was at. But thank God for miracles. Thank God for miracles. Hallelujah. So, I believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. I was at death's door, and God brought me through. And that's been a lot of years ago. That's been a lot of years ago. That was when I got operated on. I think I was 20 years old, and so it's been 55 years ago. And I thank God that he's still a miracle worker. He's still the same. He's still interested in healing. He's interested in saving lives, He's interested in doing everything that we need done because he is a miracle worker. He's a God of our salvation. He's a God of our healing. He's a God of everything that we need. Let's bow our heads for a minute, and I want to ask, is there anyone here that has never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? I'd like to give you an opportunity today to make Jesus the Lord of your life, because someday you may need a miracle, and the miracle worker is a Savior. The miracle worker is the one that can deliver you. The miracle worker is the one that can bring you out of darkness into this marvelous light of God. Anyone here that wants to accept Jesus as your Savior, just raise your hand. We've got a group here that can pray. Okay. Father, we thank you today because you are our God. We thank you today because you love us with an everlasting love. We thank you today, Lord, because our God reigns. Our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we even ask or think, according to the power that works in us. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the power of faith. We thank you, Lord, because all things are in your hand. And Lord, we look unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. And Lord, we know you ever live to make intercession. And Father, we just pray today for your blessings upon each one that has come out today. We pray, Father, just guide us by your Spirit. Help us, Lord, to be overcomers. For you said, he that overcometh shall be clothed in white raiment. And I'll not blot his name out of the book of life, but I'll confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Hallelujah. We thank you today for this group, and we pray, Father, just bless throughout this week and help them, Lord, just to be mindful of you. Help us each one be mindful of you. We give you the praise, honor, and glory, but we ask it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God bless you.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.